is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
May primary election coming up soon and ballots going out in the mail in the next few days. We're talking to a lot of candidates both locally and for statewide and regional office as well. Another opportunity to do that right now. Bridget Barton, Republican candidate for governor, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on. Hi to everybody in Douglas County.
So give us an update on your campaign. How do you feel like things are going?
I think things are going fantastic, and this is a perfect time to talk about. I know that some people are actually getting their voters' pamphlets in their mailboxes today. I've seen one already come out, and what they're going to find, I think, if you've been telling them that 19 candidates are in the voters' pamphlet on the Republican gubernatorial primary. But I would say, as far as my campaign, what is happening now? The race is starting to narrow. We're getting closer. And it's kind of dividing down. There's a kind of a top five, I would say, that have, you know, sort of pulled out of this and kind of moving into the lead here and have enough money at this point to run a true statewide campaign and put this last 4 weeks together and run TV ads, et cetera, and really reach out to all the voters across the state and have a serious campaign. So I'm happy to say we are definitely in that top five. And have raised over $1 million now. And I'll say this, we've raised it the hard way. We've gone all over the state to get contributions from regular people on the ground, have not self-funded the campaign like a couple of the top $1 million people have. So very proud of that I'm supported by people all over the state, business people. I've been endorsed by Right to Life. I have endorsements from members of Timber Unity. I have endorsements from sheriffs. And mostly, I'm proud to say, I have endorsements from small business owners all over the state. So, you know, and of course, the most important, from regular voters. So we feel like we are closing fast to a win. And I couldn't be more excited about this race. Couldn't be more thrilled to know that we are finally going to have a race that's about the people of Oregon and the actual problems that matter to them.
Now,
and it's not just going to be party politics and fighting to see who can be in power.
Now, I know that a lot of the polling right now is showing, with so many people in the race, that is leaving a lot of people undecided, even getting close. Do you have any thoughts on why that is?
Well, I think it's partly just the timing. It's just now, you know, we're 4 weeks away from the end of the race. And this is when I think the majority of voters actually start to really pay attention. But add to that they have 19 people in the voters' pamphlet. Now, I will say it's down to actually 18. Sadly, Reed Christensen suffered a stroke and has dropped out. And it really is sad. He's a wonderful man. Sorry that happened to him. But he's still in the voters pamphlet, so people will see him. But, you know, when you have that many candidates to choose from and to listen to and to try to find ways, you know, maybe to attend an event that they're at, it's tough. So that's why I mentioned that I think we have gotten to the point in the race where it really matters if the candidates have had, we've had enough time to do this, to get organized, to raise money, to put a campaign structure and staff together, which I have done, and so have some others. And those are the people that at this point are the ones that really have a chance to win and then go forward and have a chance to win the general election. So when I campaign, Kyle, I tell people, you have to decide two things. Who is tough enough, strong enough, and experienced enough to actually, if they get elected, to fight back and push hard and turn things upside down and get things done. But then they also have to decide, of those candidates they think might be able to do that, which ones of them can get elected in the general election? Because it has to be both. It doesn't do you any good to vote for someone if you think they're tough and everything, if they can't get elected. Nor does it do you any good to vote for someone just because they can get elected. But then they're not going to do anything for you. So, you know, this is a tough race. People have a lot of choices. I think I check both of those boxes 100%. So I'm asking people to support me and vote for me because I will be tough enough. I do have 30 years of experience out there in this arena, traveling Oregon, being a spokesperson for conservatives, but not being a politician. I'm an outsider, and I have no political baggage. I've got nothing to lose. I will fight. I will turn things upside down, but I can win the general election. I'm a woman. I present a softer image to those non-affiliated and Democrat voters who are very upset. But most important, they can see that I am dead laser focused on solving problems, not on, for lack of a better way to put it, sort of the typical R versus D battle that we have every time. We've had enough of that power battle. Let's solve problems. Education in the toilet and with the results. And then we have all this indoctrination going on in the schools. And then we have problems with crime and homelessness and substance abuse. And we have this terrible anti-business attitude that comes down from the governor's office down. These are things, and this is coming through in taxes and regulations and prices. And I'm sure people out there are listening right now saying, who's going to help me with the grocery prices and the gas prices? Let me say right off, I will suspend the gas tax. I will ban CRT. I will support law enforcement 100%. So, tough decisions to make. I almost feel bad for the voters when they open that voters pamphlet and see all those faces. And we all tend to kind of sound the same. We're all Republicans. We're all mostly conservative. So, I'm glad to have a chance to talk to your listeners. And do you have any questions, Kyle?
I do. As people are listening to you and hearing about your background, what kind of strengths do you think you bring to the race?
Well, let me start with 30 years of experience. So I started back in 1991 as an education reform advocate. It's been 30 years I've been advocating. I helped bring charter schools to this state. I spent 10 years pushing it and getting it done, relentlessly pushing until it was done. And then I've been an advocate of school choice, of money following the child, and of parent empowerment all along the way. And a spokesperson on that up in the metro area where it's not the most popular opinion. I also bring unique expertise on the combined substance abuse, homelessness, and crime, which I think, and most law enforcement people agree, those things are intertwined. So we're number one in the country, or number two, I'm sorry, we dropped to number two, in substance abuse per capita. We're number 50 in treatment beds per capita. So all this money being spent on the homelessness problem, it hasn't been spent well, obviously. The problem's gotten worse. The substance abuse has gotten worse. We passed ballot measure 110, which was a travesty and a disaster. That is something, as your governor, that I will marshal forces strong of law enforcement and parents groups and the treatment community to get that repealed. It must be repealed. Our sheriffs across the state agree that has to be repealed or we are in trouble as a state. We're going down. So I bring unique expertise and experience. I'm 40 years in recovery, 40 years in recovery from alcoholism. And I've spent a lot of that time helping other people struggling with substance abuse. And I've been on the board of one of the larger treatment centers in downtown Portland for years. So I have a real unique perspective on it. And what I see, Kyle, and to your listeners, we are not being compassionate. We are enabling people, absolutely enabling this problem to get worse and worse. We treat the people on the streets worse than we treat dogs and cats. We would force dogs and cats into a shelter. And as governor, I will set up a database, get shelters, just minimal level shelters open, and get these people off the street.
As you were considering what to do in your future plans, what made you decide to run for governor?
Well, as I said, I've been doing the sort of the work in the background to support other people on the conservative side of the aisle for the past 30 years. And these were areas of expertise for me, these very problems we face right now. And I looked at this race and I thought, this is the time, this is the moment to step in. It's about time someone who wasn't just running to get into office ran and took over the governor's office and got some problems solved. I know how to do it. I've got the network of people that I've worked with for all these years to reach out to be in cabinet position, you know, the agency level positions. I'll be able to make 300 plus appointments. I know people across the state, in whether it's in business or former, elected people, or just generally people with a lot of expertise on the Republican side of the aisle, who've never had a chance to bring all that experience and wisdom to bear in government. I can't wait to build a whole entire team that will begin to turn this state around.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with Bridget Martin. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Quick break and more of Inside Douglas County and News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Douglas County Commissioner of Dirt, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Bridget Martin, Republican candidate for governor, with us now. Wanted to ask, especially with your background tied to business, what's your evaluation of the financial shape of state government right now? And if you were elected, what would you change about budget priorities?
Well, you know, Kyle, the state is what the expression is, awash in money. The total budget for the state is $112 billion coming into this plan. Now, some of that money is coming, obviously, from the federal government, COVID relief, and then the infrastructure money. These are not necessarily consistent pools of money. So it's a real temptation for budgets to grow and then not be sustainable. I do think that government is entirely too large, and these budgets need to be trimmed and trimmed fairly radically. But that's going to take a good hard look as I move toward the general election. But that would be my general policy, to say that there are departments and budgets that are just enormous that don't need to be. I can tell you two right off the top. The Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Education have grown beyond the needs of the state. So some good budget cutting is coming, and that's going to be important. Because, as I said, some of these one-time funds that are sort of building into the budgets are not going to necessarily continue to be there. As well, obviously, we have a terrible problem in the state with inflation in the country, but it's also in Oregon. And while the budget is booming, regular families, I mean, I'm sure people are listening thinking, well, my budget's not booming, and I'm having trouble filling my tank, and groceries are ridiculously high right now. And yet here the state sits in it, you know, kind of fat city, and, you know, raises have been passed out and bonuses and everything. As we all know, you know, the governor passed out a couple million dollars to each of the counties to spend. It's like there's just money rolling out there from the federal government into the state. And even in our state, coffers are brimming. But regular people, regular Oregonians on the ground, they're not feeling it. We're struggling. And that's, again, why I got in the race. We have some problems to solve amongst the people of Oregon. And this is not about government. This is about Oregonians, regular families, working people, that are having a hard time.
What about the budget for the state police? What do you think should be changed there, if anything?
I think the state police budget probably needs to grow. It's one of, I think, law enforcement budgets overall. Those need to be looked at for improvement and growth. And again, some of the Douglas County might fall into this category because they're so close, but definitely Jackson and Josephine County, I think, are going to potentially need some emergency funding right away beyond what they've been given, which I know they've been kind of thrown a little bit of crumbs to help with their cartel problems. But I've spoken to those sheriffs directly, and those one-time kind of smaller amounts of money, they're happy to have them, believe me, happy to have them. But it doesn't solve their problem because you can't build a sheriff's office with deputies on one-time funding. So they need to know that there's solid funding coming their way. Law enforcement at all levels is the one place where I would say we might be increasing budgets, pushing to get budgets increased, or pass some emergency funding to get this cartel problem under control. So most of the other departments, though, I think are going to be looking at slimming down.
If you were elected, what would you be focusing on your first few weeks in office?
I love that question, Kyle. I get it a lot. And I always say, I have always been a working mom, so I can multitask. So I'm going to be able, I'm going to need to be able to do a lot at once right at the beginning. But right off the bat, as I said, I will suspend the gas tax so that we get some relief to regular Oregonians at the gas pump. That will drop their prices substantially. And I'll keep that suspended until we get down into the $3 range for gas. I would also immediately ban critical race theory in our schools. My first appointment will probably be a new deputy superintendent of public instruction. I think we got to have to get at that fast and begin a new vision for public schools that filters down through the Department of Ed to every single school in the state until they get the message that academic excellence is what we are striving for, that is our vision, not pushing ideological agendas. Then we need a hard look at some of the most difficult regulations that are hampering businesses and see everything I can do to work with the legislature, which probably will still be majority Democrat, but through negotiating back and forth with my veto pen, basically, to say some of this stuff has to be rolled back. I would immediately, by executive order, undo Kate Brown's executive orders on cap and trade. There's a couple other quick things that I can do to get rolling, but you know, there's a lot of work to be done. We need to get a handle on the substance abuse, homelessness, crime thing, and that's going to be top of the agenda for me. But I'm not going to guarantee I have a massive rollout in the first 100 days, but I will be attending to that immediately.
What about in the primary race, as people look at those all those candidates in the ballot, what is different about you versus the other GOP candidates?
Two things. The first is that I am well qualified by my many years of work. Like I said, been in the background, but it's been there. And I've been supporting policies and advising businesses, advising political people on the ideas, the solutions, and policies that work. So I have the experience and I have the network across the state. But I am, and as I say, I'm the real outsider in this race. I know that one of the candidates that's kind of at the top is calling himself an outsider, but he's run for office for governor before, and that doesn't make him much of an outsider. It's important because I have no interest in a long-term political career. I want to get in there and get these problems solved. And so I have nothing to lose. I'm probably the one candidate, I'm 69 years old, that you can look at and say, she's a solid conservative. She's going to do what she says she's going to do. And she's got nothing to lose and no ties to, you know, political things holding her back. And I don't want the long-term career. So I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to get things done. That you can count on. And then the other thing that separates me is that I can get elected because I am a woman. I crossed the urban-rural divide somewhat. I'm from suburban metro, but I've always been a spokesperson for rural and blue-collar Oregonians. So I'm the one candidate on the ticket there that checks both boxes, in that, you know, I am an outsider and I will get things accomplished and I'll stay focused on problems, not get distracted into real fringe politics stuff. But I'm at the same time somebody that can win the general election. I'm working with Glenn Youngkin's team. They took him to victory in Virginia, turned Virginia from blue to red. And I'm going to turn Oregon from blue to red and win the general election. We can do this time. It's a three-way split. We can win the governor's office this time if we have the right candidate at the top of the ticket.
Final 30 seconds here for folks considering how to vote in the primary. Why should they pick you?
You know, they're going to see my TV ad. And at the end, I say something that's really important. I say, the people want their power back. Oregonians have realized after this 2 years of COVID and the schools getting away from us and crime soaring, everyone's frustrated. They're angry. They want their power back. If the people want their power back, I'm the candidate they should choose. That's my only goal, give your power back to you.
Bridget Barton, Republican candidate for governor, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.